The first lesson for today is from Job, chapters 1 and 2. There was once a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. One day the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and the Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Skin for skin, all that people have they will give to save their lives. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, he is in your power, only spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome scars on Job from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job took a potsherd with which to scrape himself and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad?" In all this, he did not sin with his lips. The second lesson for today is from the 10th chapter of Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered to them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gracious and most merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in my sight. Amen. I've only been preaching for 40 years, and I'm not ready to deal with Job. So, maybe you are. It's such a hard book. Let's talk about Mark and the Gospel of Mark. It's a little easier. Though, you know, one of the problems with Mark or the Gospels is that what we often forget, I forget, maybe you don't, but I do, is that the Gospels are put together, each one different. Now, the two things we read today, the thing about a divorce and adultery, and the thing about accepting the kingdom as a little child, are found in other Gospels. Matthew and Luke have them, but they're not put in the same places. So whenever we read the Gospels, I always think there must be a reason for this to be the way it is, for either to read the way it is or to be in the order that it is. The writer of the Gospel must have had something in mind. And remember about the Gospel writers. We always need to remind ourselves, this is not history remembered. Faith confessed. The Gospel writers are writing for one reason, and one reason only, And that's to convince us, the readers, the hearers, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. So here we have Mark's story. And the church has struggled for years with this first part that we read today. Especially in this day and age. I mean, my guess is every one of us knows somebody, if we're not among those, who's been married and divorced. Some of us, I'm sure, are members of our family who have married, had wonderful, glorious weddings, and then the relationship has failed. So the church gets really nervous. What are we going to do with this? This statement of Jesus quoting the Mosaic Law when he's tested by the Pharisees. Interesting thing. Did you listen closely when it was read? Here's an interesting thing that happened. The story goes like this. The Pharisees come to Jesus and say, okay, we have a test for you. What are you going to do about divorce? And he answers with the Mosaic Law. Then, Mark tells us, Jesus and the disciples go into a house away from the Pharisees. And he does something that's very interesting, to me at least, and I say this as someone who's been married and divorced once and now married. You know, as they say, full disclosure is important. He does something that's very interesting. He changes the law for his disciples. And suddenly, it isn't just the man who has agency or freedom or can be the actor in a relationship and divorce his wife. It's the woman who can also be the actor, the agent, the one who divorces. It's one of those little things, but I think it's really important to remember that in spite of the fact this is not such a great act, Jesus said, dealing with people who all have the same right to act and to live out. And then Mark does something even more interesting to me. Think about this. Mark says, I'm sorry, Jesus says, if you don't accept the kingdom of God as a child, you don't know what's going on. Think about children for a moment. Maybe you don't want to, but you know, you got to think about it. Think about what happens to children. They grow. They change. They change their understanding of things around them. You know, our children, they got older, they found out their parents weren't as perfect as maybe they thought they were. They grow, change their understanding of what's going on around them. I always have this discussion about education and how our educational system today wants children to make decisions about their lives at such a young age, or what to me seems like such a young age. Juniors or even sophomores, first year, you know, students in high school are asked to make a decision about what you want to do with your life. And I always go, good grief. I was 23 years old, I think I was, before I ever decided I wanted to be a minister. Maybe for some of you, that's a bad decision, but, you know, that's what I decided. Not as a sophomore or freshman. We change. I'm sure some of you have had more than one career. You woke up one morning in your 30s, 40s, and said, wait a minute, this isn't fun or interesting anymore. I want to do something else. Or an opportunity came along and you took it. Now think about that in terms of accepting the kingdom of God or God's presence as a child. Our understanding of what that means is going to change. It's going to evolve. It's going to be different. I mean, from the time you're a teenager to your current state, your understanding of God's presence, I'm almost certain, has changed. We get older, we age, unfortunately or fortunately, and understanding of what it means to celebrate God's presence is different. It's not like it was 20 years ago, or 5 years ago, or last week even. And that's such a glorious and wonderful thing, I think. Because what it means, and some people get really nervous when I say this, but I hope I say it often, it means that our faith is relevant to our lives. To our lives. It's about what's going on in our lives, and it has to do with how we live them out. It's not back there somewhere, and we have to go back to get it and find it and make it and make our lives fit it. God participates with us and continues to enable us to live lives, I hope, of joy, of meaning, of community. Think about this for a minute. This morning, before we leave, you all are going to make decisions about this congregation. And they're going to be different than the decisions that were made, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And that's wonderful. The congregation, you all, are relevant. You're related to what's going on. Maybe the decisions aren't ones you'd like to have to make because they're going to be about shrinking the number of leaders you have. But they're still about being relevant to your life today. The Pharisees came to Jesus, Mark tells us, and wanted to test him. So they threw out this Mosaic law about divorce. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right, because you have hard hearts. And you want to control. And then he took his disciples aside and he said, no, we all have agency. We all have the ability and the right to act. But remember, God's presence needs to be known as a child would know it. And as a child, it will grow. That understanding will grow and change and be made new. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds to each other. Enable us to build relationships that are strong and long-lasting, but also ones which recognize the agency of each of those involved. And enable us, gracious God, to have a faith that we take as a child and that grows and changes and is renewed as our understanding and our life circumstances change, that we might always embrace your presence, that we might always celebrate it in the here and the now. We ask these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.